Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 17, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jnana Vijnana Yogena Karmanam Udharan Jataha Hiranya Keshaha Padma Akshaha Padma Mudra Pada Ambujaha Jnana Vijnana Yogena Karmanam Udharan Jataha Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Padma Mudra Padambujaha Jnana Vijnana Yogena Karmanam Udharanjataha Hiranyakesha Padmaksha Padma Mudra Padambujaha. Jnana of scriptural knowledge, Vijnana and application, Yogena by means of mystic yoga, Karmanam of material actions, Udharan uprooting, Jataha the roots. Hiranya, Kesaha, golden hair. Padma, Akshaha, lotus-eyed. Padma, Mudra, marked with the signs of the lotus. Pada, Ambujaha, having lotus feet. By mystic yoga and the practical application of knowledge from the scriptures, Kapila Muni, who is characterized by his golden hair, his eyes just like lotus petals, and his lotus feet, which bear the marks of lotus flowers, will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world. Purport. In this verse, the activities and bodily features of Kapila Muni are very nicely described. The activities of Kapila Muni are forecast herein. He will present the philosophy of Sankhya in such a way that by studying his philosophy, people will be able to uproot the deep-rooted desire for karma, fruitive activities. Everyone in this material world engages in achieving the fruits of his labor. A man tries to be happy by achieving the fruits of his own honest labor, but actually, he becomes more and more entangled. One cannot get out of this entanglement unless he has perfect knowledge or devotional service. Those who are trying to get out of the entanglement by speculation are also doing their best. But in the Vedic scriptures, we find that if one has taken to the devotional service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, he can very easily uproot the deep-rooted desire for fruitive activities. Sankhya philosophy will be broadcast by Kapila Muni for that purpose. His bodily features are also described herein. Jnana does not refer to ordinary research work. Jnana entails receiving knowledge from the scriptures through the spiritual master by disciplic succession. In the modern age, there is the tendency to do research by mental speculation and concoction. But the man who speculates forgets that he himself is subject to the four defects of matter. He is sure to commit mistakes. His senses are imperfect. He is sure to fall into illusion, and he is cheating. Unless one has perfect knowledge from disciplic succession, he simply puts forth some theories of his own creation. Therefore, he is cheating people. Jnana means knowledge received through disciplic succession from the scriptures, and vijnana means practical application of such knowledge. Kapila Muni's Sankhya system of philosophy is based on jnana and vijnana. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam manam api shachiputram atrasvarupam rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha. Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarani Hoi Bigna Vinashan Anayashi Hoi Nijavan Chita Puran. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. There's a great tradition going on here that Srila Prabhupada instituted of rising early in the morning, going to Mangalarti, chanting japa in the morning, having class, Guru Puja, everything. I didn't attend Guru Puja this morning. It was all Jagadambika Mataji's fault. She took me on a tour of Prabhupada's quarters and I couldn't escape. I was bound up by her loving affection for Srila Prabhupada and for all of us. So I apologize for that. But we want all these men getting inspiration from that to continue doing Guru Puja on the streets and convention halls of this country, the worship by Vijnana here. Srila Prabhupada translates Vijnana as application in respect to jnana, scriptural knowledge. So part of the application is distributing that. These terms, jnana vijnana, they come in Gita several times. Jnana vijnana triptatma. Then yeah, that comes there, and the first time is in the fourth chapter. How does that come? No, before that. What is that? In the right? No, seventh chapter. Jnana vijnana sahitam yajgat va moksha se ashubhat. Yeah. So this comes several times. Ninth chapter. Yeah. I get seventh and ninth mixed up, as probably others do also. Is there? Similar subject matter. Srila Prabhupada gives various, as do other commentators, these terms are glossed differently in different contexts. The one which we know best is Srila Prabhupada would usually give that jnana means knowledge, specifically knowledge from scripture, and vijnana means realization of that. And here Srila Prabhupada has given this as application, because realization means application. The impersonalist thinks that realization means you stop doing everything, or even before realization you stop doing everything. But the impersonalists also talk about sarva bhuta hite rataha, or the impersonalists engaged in welfare activities for others. What they think is welfare activities is just the opposite, actually. But the idea that this knowledge is meant for distribution. And Kapila Muni comes to the world for this purpose. All the forms of the Lord come to the world for this purpose. All the great devotees of the world come to this world for this purpose, to distribute knowledge and practice. Here Srila Prabhupada gives practical application of knowledge. Mystic yoga is mentioned here. Here we have jnana vijnana yogena karmanam. So here we have karma, jnana and yoga. These processes are mentioned. These three well-known processes. And of course, when Kapila Muni comes to teach, he'll teach all this. He's known for teaching Sankhya philosophy, discrimination, analysis, and analysis of what's all around us, and then understanding of that and discrimination. Sometimes Sankhya philosophy is compared to modern science, but there is a, inasmuch as it attempts to see everything in the world and classify it. But there is a major difference in as much as Sankhya philosophy accepts that we have to, it's not the ascending process, it's the descending process. We have to take knowledge from scripture because we can't understand everything through our senses and intelligence. The massive foolishness at the basis of all intellectual endeavors, science, or materialistic science, the presupposition that we can understand everything through our mind and senses, and that if we can't understand anything through our mind and senses, it can't be true. Druta Karma Prabhu is actively involved with the ascending process, with the ascending process people, just to show them that, with the aim of showing them that you want to do through this, as much as you can understand through observing this world, you can get it all and better and much more by coming to this process, the descending process of receiving knowledge. It's not only by these processes. Here it is mentioned karma, jnana, and yoga, and of course very clearly and elaborately Kapila Dev will explain bhakti. That's what it all comes to. That's the ultimate. That's the message of Bhagavatam. It's the message of Gita. That's the message of all the scriptures. Right? Padmanabhan Prabhu is deeply involved in scholastic works and distributing that, studying all the scriptures, and giving the Bhakti Vedanta as we have received it from Bhakti Vedanta, Srila Prabhupada. But here it's also, also mentioned that by his very form, and Kapila Dev will explain later the form of Vishnu, who is to be meditated on in the heart, very beautiful form, and his own form is given Hiranyakesha, golden hair. Who else has golden hair? You shouldn't answer all these questions. You know all the answers. Golden hair also, Narad Muni. So by his golden hair, his lotus eyes, and his lotus feet, which are, they have the representations on their feet, the lotus and so many other things. So by his very form, he also is attractive. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also described that his weapon is his beauty. The Lord descends with his weapons, right? I'm now in the part of Vishnu Sahasranama describing the weapons of the Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's weapons, as Nityananda reminded him, is that it's time for Sudarshan Chakra. Jagaya Madhaya have come. So, put that away. That's for another yoga. You just have to give your mercy. And if you do, he lost his temper. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost his temper. He was about to mess up his whole avatar. Because if he started killing all the demons, first of all, there wouldn't be anyone left. And another thing is, he's supposed to uplift the demon. So it's Nityananda who saved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from, he became so angry, from forgetting the whole purpose of it. You're supposed to uplift these people. You have to uplift them. You don't don't kill them. Kill them with your bliss. Kill them with the holy name. Knock them out. So we see here also Kapila Dev, his very beauty will attract. Shukdev also, that example is that just he came into the presence of all the Parikshit Maharaj and all the rishis who were assembled there. And generally young men look attractive, young bodies look attractive compared to dried up old bodies, dried up inside, outside. But these sages who are present there, they could all recognize, this isn't an ordinary young boy. He's very beautiful. And beauty is also a sign of good karma, Janmaishwarya, Shuddha, Shri, beauty, physical beauty, which is, of course, illusory, because the most beautiful man, woman, or whatever, if you just remove a little skin, then it's not very beautiful. Or even if you just pierce the skin and it becomes bloodied up, then it's not so, well, it doesn't look beautiful at all, except maybe to worshippers of Kali or some people in ghastly consciousness. They like a lot of blood and all this. So they could recognize. And that was that he's a very elevated person. And that, that gave the inclination to hear him. Parikshit had asked, okay, now I left the world, that's what you do when you're about to die. Now I have to hear from someone, so who am I going to hear from? What is the purpose? What should I do? What is the duty of someone who's about to die? And there's so many different ideas and different rishis who come from all over the universe were giving their ideas, and Parikshit had to choose. It was something like a spiritual Swayamvara. Who's he going to hear from? Or maybe listen to, give them all 5-minute slot or something like this. But he wasn't satisfied. But all of them could understand when Shukadev came, this is who we should hear from. So his beauty is also impressive. And even the Mayavadis of Varanasi, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, they the very effect of his presence, just like being in Srila Prabhupada's room, his presence is still very strongly felt there, and very strongly in the heart of Mother Jagadambika. So, talking about Shukadev Goswami, I was thinking that his room is so powerful by his presence. So just like Vyas gave the Bhagavatam, and then Shuk spoke it and became more sweet. So by her descriptions and her feelings for Srila Prabhupada, we became all more, what's the word? Enlivened. That's one word. There's so many words. We became enlivened and enlightened. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, and the Mayavadis had a very, very bad opinion of him. Generally, they're being puffed up, they have a bad opinion of everyone. But especially had a very bad opinion of him, because he's a sannyasi. We have to maintain the dignity of sannyas, right? They should. Vedanta Patan Dhyan Sannyasira Dharma. What you should be doing is reciting Vedanta and doing meditation and blaspheming others. That's the duty of a sannyasi. They didn't say that part. Eto chari karo kene bhavu kara karma. And why are you giving this up and acting like a low-class sentimentalist? They were, we'll lose all the You're a disciple of Keshav Bharati, which is very respectful, but very respectful to be a disciple of Keshav Bharati. But if you were just some tantric sannyasi, there's so many in Varanasi, even today. But you're from a proper order of sannyas, you're gonna bring our reputation down. So they had all these thoughts, and Prakashananda expressed it. He was quite straightforward about it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the same time, he was very impressed by his humility, which is not expected of sannyasis, and by his beauty. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had... They were so stupid that he had to do something for them which he didn't do for others. He showed his golden light. Oh, here he is. Yeah, he's showing his prakash, his light. The Mayavadi sannyasis are very interested in light. So he showed that he's the source of the impersonal Brahman to them. And then they became impressed, but still they had their chant. Very, very tough. He was able to deliver the foolish students, the karmis, the arguers, and so many, but these were very tough, the Mayavadis. And Srila Prabhupada adopted that as the motto among all the many descriptions he could have put. If you only have four lines in his sannyas mantra, and among all the descriptions he could have put about himself, he's the servant of his own guru for delivering the Western countries and for rebutting the impersonalism, and for uplifting people from impersonalism and voidism. Several times I've been asked, why don't you write a book against Mayavad? I say, give them Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because again and again, and the whole tone of it, from beginning to end, from the whole tone, Srila Prabhupada, reject. And right in the very beginning, why am I presenting Bhagavad Gita when there are already so many editions of Bhagavad Gita? Because it's not properly presented in the English language. Actually, there was one edition which had been done by his godbrother, most senior godbrother, in terms of the joining the mission, and the Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj had done when he went to England. But not very elaborate. Srila Prabhupada gave it elaborately. And he didn't say there are not other editions. One time when Srila Prabhupada was asked that what other books will you write, different times he said different things. One time he said, Bhagavad Gita. You've already done that. He said, well, there's Ramanuja's commentary. He was interested to do that. And once someone was talking about Ramanuja, he said, I read Ramanuja's commentary, it's exactly the same as yours. Prabhupada said, yes. Must be the same. It's slightly different angle. Just like Krishna is the same Krishna. Same Krishna that Mother Yashoda sees, and the same Krishna that Radha sees, and the same Krishna that Rukmini sees. To them, they see him somewhat differently. He's the same person. But they see him according to their own bhav, their own feelings. Kapila Dev came. He's being forecast here. Brahma is forecasting. He knows. He can see past, present, and future. By knowledge of scripture, he can see past, present, and future. So Kapila will come again in future and do the same thing, basically the same thing. There may be some little differences in how he teaches, but what he teaches will not be different. Just like we have Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke to the sun god, so all the verses won't be exactly the same. The verses where Krishna addresses Arjuna as Parantapa, for instance, or by other names, it won't be exactly the same verse. And it won't be in the context of trying to get, or when he spoke to Suryadeva, it wasn't in the context of trying to get him to fight with Duryodhana. So it may be a very different angle on how he's presenting it, but it's the same basic knowledge he will give. Bhagavad Gita is smriti, it's not shruti, so it may be adjustable when Krishna speaks it in different times and places and circumstances. But it'll be the same basic teaching. It may not have been in the context of Surya being distraught and distressed, but the same basic teachings will be there. It's the essence of the Upanishads. And of course, Gita is, the knowledge is all Upanishads, which is Vedanta, what is the essence of the Vedas, and very simply, it's given simply and concisely given in Gita, elaborately given in the Vedanta, the Brahma Sutras, Vedanta Sutras, and then explained again by Vyas in Srimad Bhagavatam, and then expanded on by Shukadev. And Shukadev makes it more sweet, and it's built on by the acharyas. They explain various points and bring out various points which not everyone may see. And Srila Prabhupada consulted all those commentaries and gave it in English, which previously it was considered not only possible to explain this knowledge in English, but wrong to do so. Shastra should only be explained in Sanskrit. That was the understand that was the tradition, because the boys, they have their upanayanam, and as brahmacharis they have their investiture with the sacred thread, and in the Gurukul they go to learn Veda, when Veda's in Sanskrit and the teaching is all in Sanskrit, and even the Puranas are in Sanskrit. So For the common people, Mahabharata is in Sanskrit. So it says, Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam Traina Veda Gocharaha. The women, the Shudras, and the, what is it, what did they say? Dvija Bandhu, the fallen members of the Brahmanas by birth only, or Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas by birth only. They're not fit for the Vedas, but they can hear Mahabharata. They're not out of the Veda. But Veda, in the sense that it's used here, means the Shruti. And that has to be explained in Sanskrit. Presumably, that was explained in Sanskrit since time immemorial, but there came a point around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when all the Shastras started to be translated into vernacular languages. Bengali, and Avadi, that's Tulsidas Ramayana. They say Hindi, it's a branch of and all over, it's all around the same time, in Telugu and Tamil, Oriya, all these languages. And there was much opposition to that from the Brahmanas. How can you have, how can you make it available to everyone not in Sanskrit? It's wrong, it's a sin. But that became accepted by Vishwanath, Lord Shiva, when the that said about Ramayana of Tulsidas, that was allowed by him. And nowadays, Brahmanas, if at all, Brahmanas by birth, if at all they explain Shastra, they almost mostly do, not in Sanskrit. And most of them don't know Sanskrit either. But Srila Prabhupada gave it in English, which is even more remarkable, because the Sanskrit of the translations into Prakrita, vernacular Indian languages, they're mostly Sanskrit with modified, simplified grammar. Bengali is Oriya. If you read the book translations, it'll all be Sanskrit words with Oriya grammar. And it's considered wrong to put non-Sanskrit words in there. Used to be. I remember this, our Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. He was doing the Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. He was revising the Hindi translation of Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said, what's it? It's all full of these Urdu words. Get them out of here. You're not supposed to. It should only be Sanskrit words, not non-Sanskrit words. But Srila Prabhupada did it in English. And I think you have to know Indian languages somewhat to understand how what an amazing thing it is that Srila Prabhupada put it, even the concepts, how to put it in English, which is a language which has no touch with all of this, the Vedanta philosophy. Even now, it's very hard to translate the Upanishads. This Sanskrit of the Bhagavatam and Gita is, well, Gita is very simple, and here this verse is very simple. Anyone can understand. Only when I looked at it, the only word jata I thought was referring to hair, but udharan jata, pulling out the roots, is given as roots. Otherwise, it might be thought that jata refers to Hiranyakesha, the golden hair, that matted hair. So the concepts, just like even what simple things we may say, the three modes of material nature, and even he put it into English, and the Paramatma within the heart, and the Brahman. Arjuna asked also, What are the meanings of these words? Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma. What are the meanings of those words? Aksharam brahma paraman krishna. It means, brahma means akshara, which again, then what is akshara? So it can be unpacked to such a degree. But just like that word akshara, it means from one meaning, one way to say it is from a to ksha, from the beginning of the alphabet to the end of the alphabet, which means everything. But you automatically get that if you know an Indian language, but you don't get it if you don't. So that's just one example. I remember Atma Tattva Prabhu, some of you may remember, he was teaching in Mayapur Gurukul years ago. So he told me, and I'm sure he told many others, that some scholars, Sanskrit scholars, were saying that this translation is wrong, that translation is wrong. And then one very big scholar, he said, no, if you read superficially, you'll think it's wrong. But if you understand what's actually in the original, and if you understand English, you'll understand everything is perfect. And Shivaram Maharaj also wrote a book. He's famous for his books on the high subjects, but one book he wrote was in great detail showing how Bhagavad Gita as it is really is Bhagavad Gita as it is, showing how Srila Prabhupada presenting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and consistently presenting words like yoga and buddhi as bhakti is completely correct. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada also gave an example of an author who had written a book called Shahjahan, and who is the son of, who is it, Aurangzeb's father, yeah. After reading the whole Ramayana, I only have one question. Who's Sita is the father of who? So the book's all about Aurangzeb and his atrocities. Very pious man, according to the Muslims. Yeah, I think he was a very pious man. He broke so many temples and killed so many Brahmins. He also thought he was a very pious man. He did a lot of chanting on his beads and everything. So the whole, there's little mention of Shahjahan, and someone asked the author, why is it, it's the wrong title. He said, no, Shahjahan is locked up by his son, and the whole thing is, the whole story is given, and he's meditating. You have to see it in the context of him thinking his deep hurt within his heart of what his son has become. So Srila Prabhupada gave this as an example that we have to understand the purpose of the author. It may not be what it appears to be. That's why it's simply a dictionary translation is not going to work. We have to understand the purpose of the author. Parokshavada rishayo parokshancha mama priya. We find, and that's also from the Upanishads. From the Bhagavatam, it's also there in the Upanishads. The indirect understanding is given in Shastra. Not always. Some things are direct, some things are indirect. And the rishis, they generally speak indirectly. And Krishna says, that's also dear to me. So we have to understand through the transparent acharya, who himself knows from his own transparent acharya. And that's why we find it's the same message generation after generation. Shortly after I published that book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, several devotees said to me, I read it and it's very gratifying to see how Srila Prabhupada is just giving the same message as his guru. What do you expect? Did you think there's something else? That surprised me. It wasn't just one, it was several who said like that. So we're getting the same message that Kapila Dev gave. Of course, Kapila Dev gave us particular slant for that particular time and place and circumstance. He was addressing a different crowd and different yuga, but it comes to the same message, and it's here in Bhagavatam, and it's being discussed here regularly. Jnana, Srila Prabhupada writes here, Jnana entails receiving knowledge from the scriptures through the spiritual master by disciplic succession. That's it. That's exact description. Tersely, completely accurately in English. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that. In the modern age, there is a tendency to do research by mental speculation and concoction. What do you call that? An understatement. That is considered knowledge. That is considered knowledge. What you see the world, do research, do mental speculation, make up some ideas, and that is considered knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to attack the whole epistemic basis of what's called knowledge in the Western world. If we want to know, we have to hear from those who know. We have to hear from those who are not making this mistake of thinking that we can know through our mind and senses. That's a major mistake, a huge mistake right at the beginning. And it leads to non-humility. It's in itself is non-humility right at the outset, thinking that we can know. That one Greek philosopher set the tone. Man is the measure of all things. Who said that? Jhutakarma Prabhu will know. What was the name of that philosopher? Plotidina, something like that. Whatever. He's dead and gone now, that's for sure. But his ideas are not dead and gone. Man is the measure of all things. Very puffed up, foolish idea. Tiny little beings in a huge, we don't even know how big the universe is. They're saying there are 12 billion galaxies, now it's gone up to 200 billion galaxies, and whatever they say, the first intelligent men appeared, or first men appeared, it's always going backwards, right? When we were kids, the first civilized humans appeared. How long ago? About 3,000 years ago. And then it's gone back. Now it's 100,000 or something. Not civil, but Homo sapiens, I guess. This is Jhutakarma Prabhu's field. They're digging up the fields and finding bones and thinking, well, time. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Time also, because I have to go pretty soon. We'll have more time in future. When you all go to the spiritual world, you can pull me up and we'll have plenty of time up there. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.